Don't pull anything, Howard. We'll wait for you.
We're early. 2 minutes early. No fines yet.
Take it.
We're going to start with questions. I don't think I have any opening statements. We got about a minute to go. So you guys are ready to draft, or you want 2 more weeks? We're in the process still, right?
Getting closer.
A little bit closer.
Can we ask questions now, or do we have to wait?
We're going to open it to questions.
No, I mean, I thought you were waiting for radio or something. But
no, I think we're good. Artists, we good?
We're good.
We're good.
What do you have left to do? What's the process like now? Work the phones, go over the board again?
I think right now we've got the scouts in. We've been meeting with those guys somewhat individually. They've smelt the guys and felt the guys more than anybody else in the building. Kind of get their thoughts, meeting again with the coach and staff, talking scheme fits, and you're just kind of fine-tuning the board, going through scenarios and coming up with a game plan. So Coach Fish knows a lot about game plans during the week. I don't know exactly where we're at, whether it's Thursday night, Wednesday night, or Friday, but we're somewhere toward the end of the week getting ready to play football.
Friday afternoon. Yeah. Fast Friday.
All right, all these Manziel rumors floating around. What can you say about that? By interest in Manziel, trading Bradford?
And I'll first say this. Scouts or coaches over the last probably 2 weeks have worked out 45 players in person. We did go to A&M. We worked out Mike Evans. We worked out Jake Matthews. And Johnny threw to an additional receiver there in addition to Mike. Johnny was probably one of a dozen quarterbacks that we worked out over this process. And with respect to Sam, he's our starter. As you guys know, that's the reason I took this job, was for our owner and because of Sam, our quarterback. And we have all the confidence in the world that he'll be back. But we also have a responsibility to continue to upgrade this roster, as it would suggest. We're interested, if with the right guys there to help in a backup role to Sam, then, you know, we'll make sure we've done our due diligence.
You said it may be too far outside the box to consider drafting a quarterback at number 2. Is it still the case, or is it maybe closer to the box now?
At the box, we're in the rectangle. And I think what you do in this situation, there's 250, 60 players going to be drafted, maybe a little more. If there's 260, you got a shot at 259 at them. You got to get the board right. When you're picking 2, you've got to figure out who's all might be in play at 2 for all kinds of scenarios, whether it's trade and all of that. So I think at any point with your football team, you try to do what's best. So it's Friday. I'm not going to tell you whether I'm not going to tell you our first 10 plays.
So you're not shopping Sam?
No, we are not shopping Sam. You know, on the road, I forget where we were last week, but we saw that Johnny Manziel was sighted in St. Louis, okay, as we were walking into checking into a hotel or something.
Like on a crawl or something?
Yeah, I think it was one of the next things that they wanted to discuss or something like that, you know. And reality is the 30 visits were over, and it's not permissible to bring in players at that point. So that kind of gives you an indication of the rumors and things that are out
there.
Yeah,
we broke a lot of rules on this rumor trail. Met with him 80 hours at the combine. That broke it by, you know, probably 79 hours and 45 minutes. Met with him. He was in St. Louis. So a lot of rules were broken in the.
You've done these workouts before, but 45, is that a record for you guys? Or, I mean, is that more of a private workout?
Well, I'm just, yes and no. I mean, we did however many. We did, you know, 12, 15 of them. and then we had coaches go out to different places and do private workouts. I think it's a byproduct of having some extra time. You know, we got a couple extra weeks now, so we got most of the work done, and we want to go out and be able to put our hands on them.
On that, we did about, 12 to 15 locations. Some are schools. Well, the key with private workouts, some are schools, and you can bring as many of those players there as possible, like the A&M one. You can bring in Johnny, Mike, Jake, more players. But you can also go to cities and hometowns where those players are from, and you can do somewhat of a mini combine there. So that's where you can take advantage of locations as well. In different parts of this country, there's, you know, some locations with better football players than others. So that's where you load up on. You may have been the 12, 15 spots, but you may have gotten, you know, 40 to 50 players done.
You've both said very clearly over the past few months, Sam's your quarterback. You just said Sam's my quarterback, and you just said that you haven't shopped him. Is it inconceivable that something could happen between today where he's your quarterback and you haven't shopped him to Thursday where you could shop him?
Well, anything can happen. Good question, but I think it's highly unlikely. You know, we've identified 6 to 8 players that we think potentially could fit us at 2. And then, of course, we've gone on with the additional process at 13. And that's been the challenge for us upstairs, is we have 2 separate issues going on, and we have to make sure we address equally each pick. You don't want to get consumed with one and then get caught off guard with the other. So we've got a couple of different scenarios.
How many players do you all have first round grades on?
Can we tell that?
No.
You don't have to tell me which ones they are. I just want to know how many.
Well, there's an element to an element to our grading scale where each draft is different. So if you got to know where you're going to pick them by round, but there's an element to predicting where they're going to end up on your depth chart, you know, by year 2. You know, really good starter, difference maker, you know, versatile backup, whatever they are. And this is a difference maker player. So from there, you figure out how many of those you have, because if this is a deep draft, there may be more of those. And so you may have 35 of those guys. So if you just said, well, what you like to do is say we take 35 in the first round. But you got to figure that out. So it's kind of hard. I don't even think we've done the analytics yet on – I know how many we have draftable, but in terms of, like, the grades we really want, I haven't really done that yet.
You guys are close to the finish line, so are there more, all this talk about a deeper draft, are there more first-round quality talent this year than recent years?
I think on that question, I think in the tiers of where you're going to draft it, it's a little – so if there's – let's just call them your tier A, there may be a few more tier A players, and then maybe top 10 or 5 type picks. If it's tier B and that's, you know, top 7 through 20, there may be a little more of those. So in each time you take your tiers, however you do that, there may be a little more this year than normal. But now some positions are thinner than normal, so it's different. So some positions, it gets deeper because some positions are deeper than the others.
It sounds like by saying that there's 6 to 8 guys that you've identified as potential good fits at 2, that sounds like maybe a higher number than perhaps normal would be at 2. Is that fair?
Hadn't picked it too often. I think this year, definitely there's a lot of avenues we could go, and we're jacked about. So, but I think you're on to the right. You know, you're hitting on something there. But I haven't picked it too often. So
this is wide open up in the air draft generally, as maybe you've seen in your years.
I think it's going to be. I think from a wide open, dramatical draft, I've mentioned, we don't even know what Houston's going to do yet. You're starting to get a lot of different rumors. You don't even know who's going to be picking at 1 yet. You know, nobody knows who the first quarterback's off the board yet. You know, each team could pick them up. So in that top whole 7 to 10, there's a lot of things going on that I don't even know in your mocks if you'll get it right. So I think that's what will make it a little bit dramatic. It'll be fun to watch.
Without knowing what Houston's going to do, how much do you guys have to kind of play the scenario game, and especially if a player like Clowney were to not be the number one pick, how might that alter things?
Jeff, you know, getting hoarse?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what you do. You have those discussions. You know, if Houston decides to take player A, fine, then we have to choose between these four or five players. If Houston trades out and this player ends up going, player A ends up going someplace else, then we have to choose between these players. So that's part of our discussions.
Jeff, what do you like about Manziel as a quarterback?
Well, I think it's his production and his competitiveness, and everything speaks for itself. I mean, he's an outstanding college football player, as was reflected year before last with the rewards that you know, he received. You know, he can make all the plays, throw the football, and you know, he's a great teammate, been a very productive player and great for their program.
The Rams have been in this position in recent years and haven't necessarily been able to get that franchise-changing type of player. Takes you guys to the next level. Do you feel that player is available, is there, if you keep the second pick?
Well, I'll go back to the last couple drafts. I think we've done a pretty good job there based on, you know, where we picked and who we selected and the future of our draft choices. But, yes, this year's draft up top, we think there's a player that can certainly make a difference for you.
And I'll follow up on that. The draft's a fun time of year. And you talk about these players, and especially the way college football is popular now and they got brands. But you got to stress teams win, individuals don't. Teams are made up of individuals. So I don't know if there's ever one player in the National Football League that's going to give you, take you over the top per se. I think that's a little, teams win. But there are some players that are going to really help team.
Piggybacking that 6-8 aspect, assuming that after Houston picks, it'll probably be 5-7. Does that, though, create even more flexibility if there was the right offer to trade down, that almost you can get a few spots and still one of those 5-7 is going to be there?
Yeah, and as a general rule, yes. I mean, we've drafted over the years. If you got four guys you like, you can go down five spots and have a pretty good chance of getting one of them. There's always that possibility.
How deep is this year's receiver class, and is that still a priority for you guys, even though the last couple of years you have to use quite a few picks on receivers?
We've said it. I mean, I think we've said it 100 times. We've drafted receivers. I think they take more time to develop than others. You gotta go through that process, to get those guys on the field. This year's receiver class, pretty deep class. Again, I hadn't gone back and said, hey, this year's got 14 starters. Last year only had 8. But when you look at the board, I think teams that really want receivers, they're looking at the board going, wow, we got a chance to get one, especially in the first round, second round, that can help those teams win or be starters.
What you like about Watkins, and do you see him? Has he had shoulders above the other guys?
He seems to be the poster child above the other guys, and hey, he's proven that, run after the catch, ability to catch the ball, all those things. He's got some development to do, like a lot of them, but I wouldn't discount some of the others behind him, whether it's being the Texas A&M guy, because he can go get rebounds, whether it's, whoever's third and fourth, but, Sammy's, if he's winning the horse race, it's for a reason, but he's not up by 2 horse lengths.
Anything going on in terms of teams calling you about a trade? You guys mentioned right from the start you thought any trade would develop very late, but can you say anything at all about anybody calling, nibbles, anything, or no?
Man, people are still flirting. Nobody's asking you to the prom yet. No, I think this week it gets slightly more serious. But again, I think with our pick at 2, hey, just like we're waiting on Houston to, draw first blood, those teams somewhat have to wait on Houston as well. So, I think that's why we've always said this stuff may really come down to they make the pick and you got 10 minutes.
I'm just curious, this may seem like a silly question, but when you're talking to a team about trading up, trading down, do you know what they want to trade up and trade down? Is that considered part of the deal or no?
In my case, nobody really ever tells you the individual's name. Yeah, every now and then, maybe.
Well, it's a quote, if our guy's there. That's the conversation that we have. So if your guy's there or your guy's not there, then you would come out, or you would come up if your guy is there. Yeah. But we'd never really, not specific on who their guy is. No.
Makes it a little bit of a poker game, though. A little bit, or you probably know by now. I mean, studying teams as much as you guys study these teams.
Yeah, I think it's an educated guess. You got a good feel for who you think they're probably coming up for, but I guess you call it the fail-safe in that situation is you better be willing to lose, you know, certain players and know that you're fine. If you go back there, you're going to get guy and you're happy because they could come get the guy you really want here. So you got to be willing to lose a few to make it, a fail-safe situation.
You guys have fun at all listening to all the – oh, especially the Manziel, oh, it's this, it's that, what are they going to do with the other teams in the trade? Is that kind of like – a fun part of the game, so to speak?
I think last week we were on a plane so much, I think we missed all the hoopla. But we would catch it every now and then eating.
Yeah, I haven't paid much attention. We've been in a meeting. So haven't paid much attention to it. Sorry?
I was just going to say, do you necessarily pay attention to that? Or if you hear from one source, do you maybe put more credence in others? Or do you just not?
We've kind of been meeting.
Yeah.
I came out, I didn't take my phone in the meetings. I come out and I got a good many texts. So I don't know what's going on in the world.
This is a time of the year where you don't have to pay particular attention to your sources.
If you guys have two players that are kind of closely graded or whatever, and one is considered more polished versus maybe a guy with more upside, how do you kind of weigh that discussion?
Well, that discussion would be solved by looking at your depth chart and your roster. And where your holes are, where your spots are. So you got a guy that you want that's, as you say, is more polished. And I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you assume he would come in and play sooner than the other one that may need a redshirt year, need some time. So you got two guys that vary a little bit. It would be really dependent on the need spot in your roster.
With a lot of the talk about wide receivers, does the addition of Kenny Britt, does that affect what you might do and how's he been so far in the program?
Well, we're 2 weeks in the program. He's done a great job. He's healthy. He's running, and he's having a blast. So I think that helps. I mean, we're trying to create as much competition as we can. And so certainly Kenny has added to that. And I think we brought him in here for a reason. That's to make play. So, but again, if the guy's there, at that position at the right time, sometimes they're hard to pass up.
What do you get out of these workouts, the private workouts, especially at the end of the process? Is there any two or three things in particular you're looking at? Or no?
You know, to me, these are all human beings. A lot of times your positions, they're just two initials in the alphabet. You watch them on film, that's kind of two-dimensional. But when you may have gone and seen them practice whatever, play in there in shoulder pads, but you can go spend, a good 2 to 3 hours with them. They greet you at the door, show you around the facility, all of those things work out. You can smell them, you can feel them, and it makes them 3D, 4D, whatever you want to call it, but brings them to life a little more, and you get just a good feel of the human being that you're going to invest in, because at the end of the day, that's what these guys are. They're
Jeff, how about getting, what value do you have?
Well, I mean, we've done it the last couple of years. We went out and we focused on a particular position last year, and we were able to compare. And so if you go out and you work out three or four or five guys at the same position, you can compare and you can rank them. And I think it's much easier to do when you see them in person late in the process. So it's been very helpful.
Last of the RG3 bounty, we think, unless you guys do something else with that pick. But how important is it to nail this draft at least as much as humanly possible?
I think that it's important to nail this draft. Probably has nothing to do with the RG3 trade. Any draft you want to nail, but to your point, you've been given some extra shots at the basket. So I think if you can, turn those into points per se, you got a better chance of, winning down the line. So you definitely want to take advantage of it. But any draft, there's no one draft more important than the other.
Obviously, a lot of attention given in the first round, but with the number of picks you guys have in the latter rounds, looking at the draft as a whole, what allows this to be a successful draft for you at the end of it?
I think, I would say this, you got 12 picks, make the most of the opportunity. And that could be using some of your picks to move up to go get a guy, could be trading a pick for, a better pick in the future. It could be picking that player there that, you're going to have picked people before, and you want to look at everybody and say, okay, if we pick this player, what's his role on this team next year, next two or three years, and try to make the best choice. And so whether it's using those picks to go get people you want or actually picking players, you just want to – I'd say this, stack good decisions. Take them one at a time, one decision time, try to stack as many good decisions as possible, and there'll be a flywheel type deal. There will be a snowball effect, and guess what? It'll turn into good things.
About eight players, the three tackles that most people are talking about, Matthews, Robinson, Lawan. Do you see those guys? All three could be off the board in the top 10. Are they, elite as far as in terms of years past, the top of the class?
You got any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance. Really depends on need. There are also, you were hearing that there's a number of clubs between us and 13 that need quarterbacks. And so, really, the need's going to vary. And so, we need to be able to try to determine that. But I would assume that those three players are, they're going to be productive and somewhat high picks.
What were your impressions of Manziel when you got to know him, sit down and talk to him, fairly, or, some consider him a wild child? Question is, did you like him as a kid?
I say this all the time. As Jeff alluded to, you can go to Starkville, Mississippi, and it's late Saturday night, and it's third and whatever, and it's a money down, and that guy's going to get the first. You appreciate that. You sit down and meet with a kid, and you can tell he's intelligent. He's engaging. You can tell he's passionate about football. So, they're all, it's what's neat about it. I always say this, we always hear about today, kids and millennials and all this. The more times I meet these young kids, the more I'm like, wow, these guys are getting smarter. They're getting more dynamic. They're impressive young men. And a lot of the guys that came through this building, all 30 of them, there weren't many that I couldn't say, wow, that was a great kid.
Okay, you made two trades in the first round last year, two in the first on the first year. Do you have any surprises for us?
What's Houston going to do?
Nothing is surprising anymore, is it?
Probably not. Probably not. Depends on what you think surprising is.
We've been talking a lot about two, but you almost can. You have a good idea. When you're at number two, you know somebody really, really nice is going to be there. At 13, is there more intrigue there because somebody could fall down there that you had not necessarily wasn't a need guy, but because you might have him at 2, 3, or 4 on your list, that you go, we got to grab this guy?
Yeah, that's what 10, 11, 12, 14, and 15 are doing. Those people, they're picking in those spots. They're going through all their scenarios and all their mocks, hoping that maybe somebody will get to them. And so we're doing that as well. So that's why I said initially is that, to a certain extent, we have to kind of separate the two or start all over at 3, and then sit there and go right back to work for 13. And if there's a player that falls, and if you like him, go get him.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.